Welcome back to another episode of the Smitty Sports Talk Podcast. I'm here with my good friend, Connor Cavanaugh. How we doing, man?
AJ, doing real good. Real excited for the NFL season coming up. I've been missing it for the last couple months.
Same, man.
Definitely been missing it. So I'm really excited to get it going, and I'm really excited to just talk about it with you.
Facts, absolutely. So we have some preseason games on tonight.
Yes, we do.
Preseason on every weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the next, what, 3 weeks?
Yes, for the next 3 weeks.
Until we get some actual live-action football games with some starters and stuff in there. So it should be very interesting. There's a lot of storylines in the league now.
There is.
A lot of big storylines with some of these teams. A lot of big moves. A lot of big changes. And I'm down to get to some conversating with you. So where do you want to start? What are you thinking?
How about we'll start with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Where this podcast is.
We start talking about Philadelphia, I get too excited. I'll start going over to Lamb. We'll start talking, you know, we'll start talking division champs. We'll start talking 2 weeks in. We'll start talking Super Bowl. It'll get a little riled over here.
All right, man. I don't think we can go
Philly.
How about we start in Buffalo then?
Buffalo.
I think Buffalo is interesting. Is a team that a lot of people think are the favorites going
they
into
are.
The year. So
they
I
should
Buffalo
be.
Buffalo is a good team to talk about. They added some big pieces. So, you know, Buffalo to me, in my opinion, would be a good place to start here.
Agreed. Buffalo is interesting. It's interesting. The last couple of years, they've just missed.
Yes.
They've been there. They've had the Josh Allen experience. He's brought them there every time. They've had the OT games against the Chiefs.
Yep.
They've been there multiple years.
Yes.
They couldn't get over the hump.
They
couldn't get over the hump. So these Bills start off with signing a six-year deal worth $120 million to Von Miller, who's a 33-year-old player also. Let's add to that. He's 33 years old, so he's signed till he's 39. What do you think about that deal?
Honestly, I think it's no surprise that it might be at least a little bit of an overpay for Buffalo. But at the end of the day, when you're a team that is right on the cusp as they are, with Von Miller, the guy is a perennial Pro Bowler. You know, what he did for Denver in the Super Bowl that they ended up winning was crucial for them. And I think when you look at a guy like Von Miller who can still make an impact, definitely a little bit of an overpay. But for me, when you're a team that's right there and you need, you know, one or two pieces just to go right over the hump, I think Von Miller's a great piece for them. He really solidifies the middle of their defense. Obviously, they have a great back end of their defense. And at the linebacker position, now they have a solidified veteran, knows what he's doing, and, you know, obviously a little bit of an overpay in my opinion, but, you know, you're going to overpay for guys.
You make
that,
those deals to make
yes,
to go make
exactly.
a run.
You make those deals.
I agree. I think Von, he's a gritty vet at this time of his career. He, you know, he's not the same as he used to was as that, you know, 10-plus, 12-plus sack guy that you saw in Denver for multiple years, won a Super Bowl with Denver. He's not that guy anymore.
Yes.
But he can be effective in limited roles, and probably that's what he's going to go for. He's not going to play every down. Mm-hmm. And if he does, you know, go for him. But I think the Bills are in a good spot here. They have been, again, just short multiple years. They got rid of their offensive coordinator, though, Brian Daboll. He went to the Giants.
Yes.
I wonder how that's going to look as their offense. I wonder if the scheme changes. Wonder if maybe these guys maybe don't gel as quick.
Yeah.
That's what camp is for.
Yeah, if I'm Buffalo, I'm hoping that the scheme doesn't change too much, because I think what they do there down there in Buffalo is it really suits what Josh Allen, what his strengths are.
Mm.
So for me, I would hope if I was a Buffalo fan that the scheme wouldn't change that much, and whoever is going to be running things offensively for them kind of tries to keep it how it was, because, you know, Josh Allen with the RPOs and with the arm that he has, he can do a lot of different things. I think the offense, you know, wasn't really a problem for them last
year. No, never was.
They were one of the top offenses
never was.
In football last year. So
defenses as well.
Yes.
They just couldn't put it together when it mattered.
Yes.
That's the only issue. They're
yes.
right there. They're right there. This
yep.
could be the year to do it. They have all the pieces. Should be fun.
Yes.
Another team in the AFC East I would like to talk about is the old New England Patriots, the
yes.
Belichick boys.
Yes.
The Belichick boys are very interesting here this season. They've really kind of flew under the radar last year. No one expected much of anything, I don't think. At least I didn't. Mac Jones, no one really knew how good he was, but everyone thought he'd be a perfect fit in that type of offense, in a Tom Brady style, not trying to, you know, make him up to be Tom Brady, but a Tom Brady style offense, where it's just a dink and dunk, move the chains, manage the game, and he did a good job at that last season. Now they add Devontae Parker on the team. They get him another wide receiver. They add a couple guys in offense. They re-sign James White. Ty Montgomery gets a deal, which could be, you know, whatever, but just help for your depth. Yeah. And helping depth, especially for a young guy, no matter what position it is, will always help.
Yes.
And Belichick's pointing them in the right direction. I think the Patriots are going to be a decent team. The only thing that scares me is they lost Josh McDaniels.
Yes, they did lose.
And that could be big. Yeah. I don't know. They signed Matt Patricia, didn't they?
Yes.
Back. Matt Patricia's back. Yes. So that's interesting. Matt Patricia was in Detroit, and that didn't work out at all for them.
Not even a little.
No one liked Detroit. It didn't even they didn't do much. So now he's back. What do you think?
For me, to be honest with you, I'm not very high on New England this year. I think they're the third. I think they're the third best team in their division. For me, I think the loss of Josh McDaniels is a lot bigger of a loss than I think other people are playing it up to be. For me, Bill Belichick is a defensive guy, and he's never really run his own offensive schemes. And Josh McDaniels has really, for close to the last decade now, been running the offense in New England. And now that he's gone, I think you're going to see a little bit of a different look for New England. I don't really think they have a ton of firepower. I mean, you spoke about Mac Jones, and
mm-hmm.
and he is more, at least last year he showed, the game manager type quarterback, and
right.
hopefully he takes, a little bit of a bigger step in his development in terms of, just being a gamer, this year. But, I wasn't really a huge fan of any of their acquisitions. I mean, Devontae Parker, he had some flashes in Miami, but I don't really think he's a game changer.
He's not a number one.
Yes,
he's more of a low end number two, I'd say.
Yes,
it's weird. It's a weird situation because Matt Patricia's offense is very bland. It's very stale, and it's kind of outdated now in this day of age. You got Josh McDaniels, who's I wouldn't say a mastermind, but he's been doing it for years and years, to having multiple seasons of success, Super Bowls, lots of success. And maybe that change for someone like Mac Jones, who's a young kid still, Belichick not, that whole scheme there might be a little bit more uncomfortable, like in a situation to where he might feel like he doesn't know what to do too much, or he feels like maybe he's going to have to take over a game. And he's not a takeover type of quarterback.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that takeover feel yet to him.
Yes,
he might take a couple of years for him to get back to get anywhere close to that, and I don't know if it will happen unless they get somewhere firepower, like you said.
Yeah, and I just don't feel like you just said he doesn't have the ability to take over a game right now, and with the weapons he has around him, he needs to be the guy to take over the game because the weapons aren't going to be the ones to do it. So for me, I don't really see their offense being that good. Defensively, I think they're going to be a gritty defense. It's a Bill Belichick defense, so you know what to expect from them defensively, but I just don't see them with enough firepower here to really compete with the two better teams in the division this year, in my opinion.
I agree. I think the one thing, the saving grace for that team, is going to be their defense, their back end of their defense, their secondary. They signed a lot of guys for their defense in their secondary. They signed a Malcolm Butler. They re-signed a Devin McCourty. They signed Jabril Peppers, who I was a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys can play well. They have a decent linebacker group. Their defense will be their backbone.
Yes.
Their defense will probably have to carry that offense for as much as it can until a later stage in the season. So, I expect the middle of the pack for the Patriots. But there could be upside depending, maybe they make a move. They're doing a little bit better than expected. Maybe they try to do something.
Maybe Mac surprises maybe all
Mac's
of us.
A, yeah, maybe Mac's know? A Pro Bowler this year. Mac being a Pro Bowler would be
that'd be
a story. That'd be something.
That would be something.
So, that'd be great. Move over to another team that also has a little bit of a quarterback controversy, quarterback, battle going on. Not really so a battle, but just a lot of uncertainty with the guy that played in Cleveland for multiple years and now gets traded to the Panthers in Baker Mayfield. I don't know what to expect from Baker Mayfield. The guy's a gunslinger, and he's had a lot of weapons. He's had a lot of help, and they gave him help for multiple years. He didn't do anything with it.
No.
What do you expect from this Panthers team with whatever they have now to do this season?
To be honest with you, I don't really expect a ton from Baker Mayfield, being that I don't think Baker is going to start to open up the year. I think it's going to be Sam Darnold. For me, I don't personally think Sam Darnold's a better quarterback, but For me, they traded a lot of draft capital last year to get Sam Darnold. They love Sam Darnold down there. And even though he didn't perform last year, I think he does have the leg up coming into the preseason. I think he will start the year off as the starting quarterback. And, you know, if things do go badly, then they will go to Baker. For me, I don't really know how to feel about Baker, to be honest with you. He was beat up last year, and his numbers weren't very good. To me, I'm not a huge fan of Baker. I don't think his upside is anywhere near, you know, some of the younger quarterbacks.
I agree. It's not.
To me, he's just, you know, he's a good, solid NFL quarterback, you know. But I don't really think, at least early in the year, I don't think he's going to make a big impact, you know, besides, you know, just the news and the drama that he's not starting, because I do not think he's going to be the starting quarterback week one.
I wonder what that does for his mental, you know. He gets a lot of pressure, lots of chances in Cleveland, gets traded, gets a fresh start in his eyes. And Sam Darnold will start week one.
Yeah.
That'd be very interesting. Sam Darnold starting week one for this team. I mean, he is the younger guy. He's the guy with more upside than Baker that should be able to at least, you know, build and grow with the offense.
And he's been there for a year.
He's been there. So you never know. I just think it's interesting. I don't know. I really don't know what the trade. I mean, it's not like they gave up much. They gave a fourth round, a fifth round pick for him. It's not like they gave up anything at all for Baker Mayfield.
No.
I guess maybe just get something out of him. I mean, with those picks, it doesn't hurt to have a backup or starter at that, you know, level for that deal. So we'll see. I think it's all about the Panthers if they can stay healthy, keep CMC on the field, because you can't have either one of those guys, in my opinion, to throw the football 50 times a game.
No matter what happens in Carolina this year, if Christian McCaffrey is injured and beat up for a lot of the year like he's been the last couple of years, they're going to be just as bad as they were last year.
They're going to be the same team,
No matter how good Darnold is or Baker is or, you know, DJ Moore or anybody on the defense, if Christian McCaffrey is not Christian McCaffrey and he's on the field, Carolina, to me, is a nothing team. I don't think they're going to be going anywhere.
It's really weird. It's weird because Carolina, when they drafted DJ Moore, when they get these big – not big, but bigger name offensive weapons, they get a CMC. That's like the turning point where you think, oh, the rebuild is coming up and up after the Cam Newton collapse. I wouldn't call it a collapse, but the drama, whatever happened with Cam Newton, you know, he ended up getting out of there. You'd think that's the build back up to where these guys can maybe start making a push for a playoff spot. And you see just things not working. Their quarterbacks have been in and out. Mm-hmm. They've had a bunch of flip-flopping. Now Matt Rhule's taken over. We'll see how that goes from being in college, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing really behind him in his history to tell him that he could do it at an NFL level. We'll have to see how that goes, especially with, I would say a hothead, but you might have a guy like Baker Mayfield in the locker room who teammates on Cleveland might not have liked, because there's been reports in Cleveland that they might not have liked Baker.
Yeah.
And he's been, you know, being that nuisance in the locker room that no one wants to play with. So if Matt Rhule can't get him under control, or say any of these quarterbacks or these players under control, that could get really ugly in Carolina, even with the firepower that they might have offensively.
Yeah, you touched on it earlier about, you know, the confidence if Baker doesn't end up starting early in the year. I think the biggest thing for them is going to be, if he doesn't start, how he's going to act in the locker room, because we know he's a little bit of a polarizing guy. You know, some guys in Cleveland loved him for, you know, his fire and, you know, how he goes about, you know, the game. And other guys didn't really like him for that reason. So if he's not starting earlier in the year, like you said, I could see him starting to pose a problem in that locker room. And, you know, if you're Carolina, you, like you said, you didn't give up a ton for him. So
no,
if that is the case, we could see Baker back on the
market. I mean, he could go make some more commercials. He's done a lot of those.
Mr. Progressive.
Exactly. He can make a lot of commercials. He's good at that. He's on there every you know, every Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
So he's always got a day job. Another guy, another team with a quarterback that people have looked towards to really take the next step. This guy won an MVP. You know, he was the top of the league. He's a name. He's on the Ravens, right? And the Ravens are a story franchise with Harbaugh, who's done everything. People don't like him, might like him. He's a veteran coach who's seen a lot, has a scheme that is very unique to the NFL that he sticks with, and has a quarterback that can do it. The only thing is, it's been the same. I don't think there's any growth. I haven't seen any growth. Since his MVP year, I think he's gone down. His throwing hasn't really improved, in my opinion. His running game is only going to catch up to him himself. He's not going to be able to do it forever. And if these guys, if they don't get, you know, any help from the running back room, from the line that's been banged up, and if Harbaugh can't get him to try something different, or this guy can't grow, and maybe that's a problem. Maybe he can't mentally get himself right to go to the next step and try to become a better passer. Because we see it every year. We don't really see improvement. We see anytime he makes a throw, you know, it's on the run and it's a little sporadic. You see the big shot plays, but their big shot guy's not there anymore. Yeah. Marquise Brown's in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what really to expect in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. What do you think?
To be honest with you, I feel the same exact way. I could see this being a very, I could see this season being very similar to what it was last year. I mean, when you look at, you know, what Baltimore went through last year and you know, pretty much a failure of a season for them, it was a lot of injuries. I mean, a lot of their guys, you know, in that running back room were hurt, and that's what they do, you know, with their offense. So that really set them back. And Lamar was banged up. And to be honest with you, the way he plays the quarterback position, you have to expect that that is just going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
He takes a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, you know, he's not a very big, you know, strong guy. He's a little frail, and you know, if you know it takes you just getting hit the right way, even if it's not hard, the right way, I think he's gonna continue to get banged up. And I think another thing, you know, that you know needs to be said is the contract dispute. You know,
of course,
right now he wants an extension. They haven't agreed to terms, and if this bleeds into the season, obviously he hasn't held out of camp or anything, so it looks like he's going to play the season whether he gets the extension or not. But you know, if things start going poorly in Baltimore early in the year, if they start, you know, the first couple of games, you know, struggling a little bit, I think the contract extension talks and drama just heighten in Baltimore. And I think, you know, you have even more of a conversation, you know, do we keep this guy? To be honest with you, I could see this as, you know, a toxic drama-filled season for Baltimore with a lot of injuries and...
A lot of off-the-field stuff, distractions. Yes. And he represents himself. He doesn't have an agent.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an agent. This guy does it all himself.
Yeah.
So, you're right. He could basically, if he wants to call it quits on himself and say, you know what, it's not worth it for me to do this, and he thinks highly of himself, as much as it's a prove-it year for Baltimore, he might prove to himself, it might not be worth my time. I can go look elsewhere.
And they've also showed him that they're not fully committed to him either.
Right,
because
right.
they haven't jumped. I mean, we saw the second Josh Allen was open and ready to get a contract, Buffalo gave them whatever he wanted. You know, same with Patrick Mahomes. With Baltimore, they don't feel that way about Lamar Jackson. They're not quite there. So for him, you know, if they start to struggle, he might look at this as, you know, well, they don't even fully really believe in me here anyway. So the off-the-field stuff, I think, is going to be a big problem for Baltimore this year.
Right, and I hope Lamar doesn't really get too big of a head here. And maybe it's hard for NFL players to realize what they are sometimes. It's hard for these guys to say, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not – maybe I should do this. Or maybe I'm not as much as I thought I was. And they can't, you know, can't take a next step. And one more thing, though, about this team. Before – with all the Lamar drama and all the contract stuff, they signed a running back in Mike Davis who's a blocking running back, okay? Fullback in Patrick Ricard, who Patrick Ricard is – what is he known for? Doing the same thing,
yes.
Just blocking, very good, just with the ball in his hands, easy for RPOs, easy for these sweeps and all these flips and all this. So they're getting probably the two best players that he can really gel with for his success.
Yes.
And I don't know if it doesn't work out here, I could probably see him, like you said, maybe calling it in the middle of the season, saying, you know what, I take a step away. Fans start getting on him, coaches start getting on him, the media starts singing, and maybe he's gone. There could be a chance we might see. This could be a hot take. It probably is a hot take, okay? Probably scorching hot take. That Lamar Jackson, for whatever he's worth, could possibly be traded midseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. And I think the scary thing for Lamar Jackson is the way they've built this offense completely around him and his strengths. I mean, you look at the wide receiving core, it's not strong because Lamar's throwing game is not strong. Everything is based around the offensive line, the blocking, the run game. The scary thing, I think, for Lamar Jackson is if it doesn't work out in Baltimore, I'm not sure it works out anywhere. because the way Baltimore has put their offense together is completely around Lamar Jackson's strengths and what it looks like is going to be able to lead him to the most success. And for me, I think there is a chance that this is his best spot to be in. And
I agree with that.
If he does go elsewhere, I don't know if we see the Lamar Jackson that we did see in his MVP year and, you know, that we know he's capable of
being. It's a tough situation for him because he's limited. He's limited to a point to where not many NFL teams looking for a NFL quarterback that throws the football, that gets what they need to get done, you know, gets it in bunches through the air, that he might not be able to achieve. And that's tough for him. And who knows? It's going to be weird. If no one takes this guy or this guy doesn't have any interest in playing in Baltimore anymore, he himself could set himself up for failure, and he might be looking for a job next year.
I agree.
And it might be a rough situation for as much talent that he has. Is it time for the birds?
I think it's time for the birds.
Listen, you know me. Big bird guy.
Yes.
Big Eagles fan, okay? I can't overhype the team. As much... There's too much, you know, I've never had the much media attention. The Phillies, they blew a game today. We don't need to talk about the Phillies. The Eagles have a lot of media attention on them. For the first time since probably, not even the Super Bowl year. I would say since this day after the Super Bowl year. A lot of teams are hyping them up. We're hearing double-digit wins, 11, 12 wins from these media members. We're getting a lot of hot takes, a lot of, you know, this could be the best offense in the NFL. They have the best offensive line in the NFL. And for me, as much as I absolutely agree with it, it's hard because of Jalen Hurts. Everything. This is the biggest year for an Eagles quarterback in a long time to prove themselves, to do something, not asking for much, just need this guy to be a capable NFL quarterback and make the throws. He's got A.J. Brown now, Devontae Smith, who had a good rookie season. So you get a Pro Bowler, a candidate Rookie of the Year. You have Dallas Goedert, who's a top five tight end in the league. Dallas Goedert is one of my favorite players. He absolutely is. And just those three alone, with Miles Sanders in your backfield, they have Kenny Gainwell, who they use a lot in RPOs, and they use a lot, you know, stretching guys out wide. They run five wide receivers with Kenny Gainwell on the field. They have a lot of weapons with their line, with Jason Kelce on the line. Lane Johnson in the right tackle. Jordan Mailata, who came out of nowhere, got a $64 million deal. Their line is very built, and he's built for success. I want to know an outsider's opinion on Jalen Hurts. That's strictly what I want to know, because I think he can do it. He's got the intangibles. He's got the attitude for it, the work ethic. It just needs to be seen on the field. And last year, we saw glimpses of, whoa, he might not be able to do this. He's a good runner. He had a lot of rushing touchdowns last year. But as a passer, what are your opinions?
So, no positive bias coming from me here, as I'm a Washington Commanders fan.
That's tough.
For me, I'm not very high on Jalen Hurts, to be honest with you. I am very high on the Eagles as a roster. I think they are the best roster in the NFC East. I think... In my opinion, I'm going to be picking them as my winner of the division, but it's not because of Jalen Hurts. I think the way that they've built their roster now, just completely sound, depth, strong, all around Jalen Hurts, and I think in the regular season, that is going to be good enough for Jalen Hurts to make enough plays in games to win enough games in the regular season. I'm not very high on Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's better than Dak Prescott in Dallas. You know, he's definitely better than my guy, Carson Wentz, which you guys definitely know most about as well. I think, you know, he's obviously got way more upside than Carson. I don't know, you know, I think they're pretty similar in how they compare as quarterbacks right now, today. But, you know, obviously Jalen has, you know, more upside, you know. But he does run really well with the football, and I think he can make a lot of plays with his feet, and I think his intangibles are really good. I don't think the arm is that strong for me. But, you know, like I said, especially in the regular season, the Eagles are going to find ways to win games. Because
they're good enough.
The rest of their roster is, to be honest with you, in my opinion, when I look at the roster now, it's stacked. I think it's super deep. You know, they made some really, really good, you know, additions, you know, to the wide receiver core. You know, obviously you said A.J. Brown. I think Zach Pascal is an underrated addition. I think he's going to be really good, you know, maybe in the slot. I mean, he's slot a bigger guy. Receiver, but, mm-hmm. you know, well, you know, he hasn't really had, you know, a good team, you know, as good as, you know, this team around him. So, you know, especially as like a third, fourth option for them, you know, I think he's going to, you know, be better, you know, than a lot of people think. And, you know, obviously they picked up James Bradbury, you know, good, you know, the defense. I think the defensive line is pretty stout in Philly. You know, they always give my, you know, Washington, you know, they always give us problems on the D-line. So I'm sure, you know, they're doing that.
They will for two more games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not crazy about Jalen Hurts, but I am crazy about the roster.
The roster, how it's built.
Yes.
Is set up for success for the guy to just not fall off a cliff.
Yes.
And he'll do well to win games.
Yes.
And that's a fair evaluation.
It gives him the ability to make some mistakes throughout the year and not have it completely hurt them in games. You know, I think that they're defensively sound enough that if he throws a really bad interception, you know, at, you know, a big point in the game, that defense is good enough to get a stop and help him out and save him, give him another opportunity, you know, to make a play. And I think eventually I like Jalen Hurts' tangibles a lot. I like his attitude. I like his leadership a lot. As a locker room guy, I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in football, to be honest with you. I just don't love the arm, but like I said, I think it's going to be way overshadowed with the complete roster that Philadelphia
See,
has.
That's the problem with Jalen Hurts right now, what people say about him. He has all the intangibles. He's got all the good stuff, all the leadership qualities, but can he do it on the field? That's the big thing. Like, can he transform those qualities and put them together to be just a decent thrower of the football? Basically, I'm trying to think of a comparison. There's been comparisons this past offseason that I heard from multiple people on The Athletic that wrote for Philadelphia, okay, that somebody compared his arm to Josh Allen's arm. Now, just think of this for a second, of why I don't like the overhyping. Because why are we comparing Jalen Hurts to Josh Allen? There's zero comparisons.
They're two completely
zero comparisons. It's. I even think Josh Allen's a better runner than Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. He might be a better runner, too. Josh Allen's a complete quarterback. We don't have to get off topic about Josh Allen. But I heard that one before. Some lunatic wrote it. I'm not going to name his name because it made me, you know, it made me cringe as an Eagles fan because I don't want to hear that type of stuff. I don't want to see that type of stuff. I might love to see it in the game, but I don't want to hear it now. But you're right. Their roster is complete. And they signed Hassan Reddick, who could be another underrated signing as your outside linebacker to help. They signed Kazir White from the Chargers, who's just a depth linebacker. But they also have a player in T.J. Edwards who played a lot last year that they like. They signed N'Kobe Dean. They drafted N'Kobe Dean, who I don't think he's going to get playing time right now. He might get in the preseason. But they're deeper everywhere on the team. That can only help them.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. It'll be fun to watch. There's a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. I'll see how he handles it, because if you're made for Philly, you're made for pressure.
You're right. This is the complete roster. This is pretty much as good as you're going to get. So if you're Jalen Hurts, it's now or never. If in Philly, you know, they've completely catered their roster to you, and it's, you know, it's up to you at this point now, and it's rise and shine for Hurts. So
another quarterback that couldn't handle really pressure out of Philly. He found himself around the globe in Carson Wentz. He's with your Commanders.
And
I don't really – when I saw the trade, I said, you know what? Good for him. He has a job, and you were telling me earlier, it's all his. Yes. Go out there and play football. Go out there and do what you do. Go throw the football around, make plays. Unleash the leash, I guess you could say. Opinions on Carson Wentz, please, because I don't know.
So obviously I haven't – as, you know, my quarterback, I haven't seen him in an actual game yet. So, you know, this is all early, you know, training camp, you know, could mean absolutely nothing. But, you know, I do remember when he was with Philly, these were, you know, some of the problems that I'm already seeing in camp and stuff are the problems that, you know, Philadelphia fans, you know, I always, you know, used to hear complain about. He's, you see some of the throws he makes and some of the plays he makes with his feet out of the pocket, and it's like very few guys in the NFL can do that. So you see those plays, and you're at an all-time high with him. You see the potential still there. The arm is still there. He hasn't lost any, you know, any strength on his arm. He still zips the ball in. But then the next play, you'll see just an absolute terrible decision, or, you know, a complete overthrow right to a safety. You know, stupid bonehead plays that bring you kind of back down. So, you know, with Carson, I'm kind of left in the middle right now. You know, because I see the high, you know, upside with some of the plays he makes, and then I see the, you know, complete floor with him with some of the other plays he makes. There's a couple things that I don't like about what he does in the pocket as well. I think he holds on to the ball too long, which, you know, is a good thing for, you know, your receivers, you know, and the fact that,
right,
you know, you can, you know, they have more time to get open. But, you know, the offensive line for Washington was ranked 15th last year, so they're a middle-of-the-pack offensive line. They're not great, and they're going to have to hold up a lot longer than they had to last year for Heinicke, which for me I can see bringing some problems also, because Carson is not very strong holding the football when there's pressure. So, you know, he's holding the ball a long time, pressure comes, you know, turnovers are going to happen. I know that turnovers are going to happen with Carson, but to be honest with you, even with the ups and downs, for me it's better than what we had with Heinicke. I knew what we were going to get from Heinicke, you know, mm-hmm. every game. He was going to be okay. He was going to make some, you know, some nice plays with his feet,
right.
But at the end of the day, it's not going to be enough to lead you to win games against good teams. Carson, I think, has the potential, if he's in the right, you know, in the right atmosphere, to win you some big games. So for me, I'm to be honest with you, I'm happy that he's my quarterback coming into this year. I he's an upgrade for me over Taylor Heinicke.
I agree, and you nailed it on the head. Eagles fans might not like to hear the things that you're saying, because it's the same old.
Yeah.
It's the same old.
It brings back bad memories.
It brings back bad memory. Yeah, it's the same old thing. And it's always been the same thing with Carson, because, like you said and alluded to, he can make the throws with the best of the best in the league. He also can make the plays that we see Sam Darnold make in a Jets
yep.
uniform, or that we see these bad quarterbacks that are out of the league or fighting for spots make. And if he doesn't do it now, he'll be one of those players that are trying to fight back in the league and be a journeyman. So, I'm happy for the guy to be in a situation to where he can just go out and play. There's really not much, I wouldn't say pressure. I don't know if there's, do you think there would be pressure on Carson Wentz to perform? Or is it more just, because Washington's a weird situation for Washington. Yeah. They're probably thinking like, all right, let's see what we can get out of this guy with what we just got him for.
Yeah.
And see if we can go, maybe have to move up in the draft to get somebody else, or see if we can make a decent run here and see what they got, because I don't really know much about Washington, so I'm intrigued to see Carson Wentz perform. I don't know what you're gonna get out of him.
Yeah,
he's just been the same guy for his entire career, and it sucks. It really sucks, because I've been a big defender of Carson Wentz, and I hope he turns it around. I really do, because he can win you big games. He can also lose you games.
Yes.
So that's the thing. He can also lose you games. So
yeah, we were talking before we hopped on, and we both came to the agreement. This is his last shot at being the guy. If it doesn't work out here in Washington this year, the rest of his career is going to be painted as a guy that's coming into camp and fighting to be the starting quarterback for a middling team, kind of like Washington, except for in this case, he was the starter right from the get-go. But, you know, we both agree this is his last shot at being, you know, the starter coming right into camp. You know, it's his team. This is his last shot. So, I mean, we'll see what he can do. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, completely confident in him, but,
right.
you know, We'll see what happens. I mean, to be honest with you, it's better than the quarterback play that, you know, I've had in Washington for, you know, pretty
yeah.
much since I've been born. So, you know, hopefully.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, hopefully it can just be improvement for Washington. You know, I'm not looking for him to be the MVP. So.
I agree. Who's Washington's backup? They have a backup quarterback?
Yeah, so now it's Taylor Heinicke.
It is Taylor Heinicke. Okay, I didn't know if Taylor Heinicke stick
yes,
with it. So
yes.
Taylor Heinicke would be the fallback option. Who's he still like a? Is he young? Is he kind of like middle?
He's a middle aged guy. He was
okay.
He didn't come up very early.
Right.
So he's a little bit, you know, but I think he's a really good backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's what he is. That's what he fits both.
He's gonna fight. He's gonna keep you in games pretty
right.
much. So
I agree. Okay.
You know, and that's pretty much all you can look for in a backup quarterback. And to be honest with you, if Carson Wentz is really, really bad to start the year, Washington knows what they're gonna get out of Heinicke because he started all year last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had a little bit of a quicker trigger with going to Heinicke. So, you know, they also have Kyle Allen, but Kyle Allen is lower on the depth chart. He can't really stay healthy,
mm-hmm.
and he's very immobile. So I don't really see him playing a factor unless there's, you know, an injury to Wentz or Heinicke. you know, in the quarterback room. But like I said, this is Carson Wentz's team. So it's his team to lose. So Heinicke is there, but you know, they see what they have in Heinicke, and it's not a starting quarterback. So they're not experimenting with him being a starting quarterback anymore. He's the backup.
Yeah, they've got what they got out of him. They got what they need to know. So yes. They know his role.
Yes.
So I want to touch on just a few guys that, you know, have hopped down this past off season to different teams and got some new places and some new homes. Is there any big names that intrigue you to see, you know, or underrated names that you might be excited to see or find out what they can do in a different spot? If it's from a bad situation to a good situation or from a bad to a bad. Is there one guy that sticks out to you that, you know, makes you like, this is going to be an interesting year for this guy?
To be honest with you, I don't think people are talking about this guy as much because it's not a big splashy move. Mm. But for me, as a Commanders fan, the Matt Ryan move is very interesting to me because if he goes to Indianapolis and they look like a complete team, it's going to show that Carson Wentz really was the problem at the end of the year there. And so for me, that's a really interesting one. I mean, obviously, you know, in Philadelphia, A.J. Brown is a huge move for them. You know,
right.
he's their number one. I know Smith had a really good year last year, but A.J. Brown's a number one receiver. So I think that is really big for Jalen Hurts to get a number one. Smith, also really good.
Good complimentary. Yes. It's a perfect complimentary from one type of wide receiver to another wide receiver. Two different play styles for guys. The Matt Ryan is interesting. Matt Ryan, Colts also signed Nick Foles. So
yes.
You also have Nicky Six back there to ready, you know, in case something happens, the Super Bowl run is on.
They like the Philadelphia quarterbacks.
They do. They like Philadelphia players. They got plenty of Philadelphia players in and through that team. So, but Matt Ryan is quarterback because he's a determined, not determined. What's the word I'm looking for? He's a good, just, you know what you're going to get out of Matt Ryan. He throws the same stats every year. He's consistent. He's assistant, like, almost 4,000 yards a year. You know what you're getting out of him.
And the last couple of years in Atlanta, the team around him
was terrible. It's been really bad.
Indianapolis has a really solid squad around him with, you know, good depth at a lot of positions and obviously one of the best running backs in football right now in Jonathan Taylor. So, you know, for me, I expect Matt Ryan to be a lot better than he has been the last few years.
It might be Michael Pittman breakout season. So another guy that I wouldn't say flew under the radar, but it's just intriguing, is Allen Robinson. It's not even that it's such a big deal because the Rams obviously came off a Super Bowl victory, but they just keep adding players. And Allen Robinson just played a season where he was with the Bears, and it was a complete nightmare.
Yeah, it was a rough year.
The guy didn't get anything going. I believe he had a couple of injuries. He was banged up. Didn't get to play much. Didn't have a quarterback to throw to him. And it's just been a lot. And when we saw Allen Robinson, when he played for the Jaguars, he looked like a superstar, number one receiver. And we haven't seen it since. He hurt himself, moved to Chicago, haven't seen anything since. And I really think Allen Robinson now just can revitalize his career. I'm excited to see him, see how involved he'll get with Cooper Kupp, because we don't know. I don't think OBJ's not going to play there. He's a free agent, so he's not going to be there more than likely.
And even if he does play, he's going to miss the first half.
He'll miss a lot with the ACL. So. Yeah, he's not going to play. So I'm excited to see what that 1-2 punch looks like, because he can revitalize his career, and maybe if he signs there and does well, he might be able to get a new contract somewhere else, get a bigger contract, maybe get paid, and hopefully get on a team where he can be somewhere long-term. As much as a ring, obviously, this is his best chance to get to a ring with the Rams right now. But I think it's just – I've always liked Allen Robinson as a guy, and I always think he's a good receiver. He's been in a lot of bad situations, and I'm excited to see him get a chance to be the guy again. Not the guy, but be a guy and be more than serviceable than what he's been the last few years.
I completely agree. I think it's one of the more underrated pickups of the offseason. I mean, Allen Robinson has never had a quarterback.
He's never had a quarterback.
So now he's coming in to a team that's loaded, coming off a Super Bowl victory with a quarterback in Matt Stafford. And the biggest thing for me is, you know, Cooper Kupp coming off the season that he's coming off of, defenses are going to be having their game plans
to stop him.
To stop Cooper Kupp.
It's only going to help
and
him.
That's only going to open up.
Yep.
Lanes for Allen Robinson. I mean, we saw before the Robert Woods injury, Robert Woods was was having a very good year because as Cooper Kupp continued to put up the numbers he was putting up, defenses started to game plan for him. Odell was really bad in Cleveland. He comes over to the Rams, and all the focus is on Cooper Kupp. So OBJ had, you know, some good numbers with the Rams. And Allen Robinson, in my opinion, at this point, is a better receiver than both of them. So
I agree.
I think with all of that, you know, being said, I think he's going to have a really big bounce back year, and I think, you know, I think he'll get paid because, you know, he's never had a quarterback. So, you know, he's got the bona fide quarterback now with a good team around him, and you know, he's not the only option there.
He's not the only option. Exactly. And I think he'll fit in nicely. He'll be able to get eased into things and just be able to play football and not have to worry every down of, am I going to get the ball? Am I going to worry about this? Or where's my quarterback? Or all that type of stuff. So I also wanted to touch on Tyreek Hill's replacement. Two replacements. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, he's now a Dolphin.
Yes.
It might be one of the biggest moves in the NFL. It is the biggest move in the NFL offseason. Probably the biggest blockbuster that no one really saw coming. But they get Juju and Marquez Valdes-Scantling in return for Tyreek Hill. Off the free agent market, of course. The Chiefs, I mean, we don't have to talk about the Chiefs. They're great every year. Andy Reid coaches them very well. Pat Mahomes is a superstar quarterback. He'll make it work. But it's very interesting to see Tyreek Hill move, get these two guys who haven't really shown much. I mean, Juju had a decent year for one season, his second year in the league. He had a decent year, but he also didn't have a quarterback, and that struggles. So I wonder how much better those two guys can look in offense now with KC with Travis Kelce, maybe not having much attention to them really whatsoever. I wonder what it's going to look like in Kansas City with all these different, you know, moving pieces now, because now it's like a carousel in there offensively. It seems like it's a whole different offense. You don't have the take-the-top-off guy no more. You don't have him. So it's going to look really strange, and losing Tyreek Hill might seem bigger than really what it is. People think they're going to, you know, just run through the AFC West, which they might. But there's a lot of good teams in the AFC West now. It's a stacked division.
Yeah.
So they got to perform. And these guys, you know, they don't settle for anything less, these Chiefs. They don't settle for third in division. They're going to try to keep winning and winning and winning. That's their culture. So I'm interested what you think about those two guys and Tyreek Hill now in Miami with Tua, out of all people. He's with Tua now. So that's a two different complete quarterback changes. So what do you think?
To be honest with you, I like Juju Smith-Schuster as a wide receiver, and I'm a lot higher on Marquez Valdes-Scantling than a lot of people are. I think he was a little bit undershadowed in Green Bay just because, you know, A-Rod's going to go to Devontae, you know, 90% of the time because Devontae's Devontae. You know, anybody would.
Of course.
It is definitely a different look, though, like you said, because, you know, the last couple of years in KC, you had Tyreek, you know, taking the top off, and then it was Kelce. So you had those two guys, and, you know, it's impossible to double, you know, two guys every time. You know, one guy's going to be left open. I do think this is going to hurt Kelce a little bit because I think at least early in the year, people are not going to see these two wide receivers that they just brought in as big enough threats. So they're going to bring a lot more attention to Kelce, but I do think it's going to lead to a more balanced Kansas City offense. I think they're going to need to run the ball a little bit more.
Right.
I think Mahomes is going to have to make some better decisions. I mean, obviously, there's no doubt Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks in football. He's a superstar. You know, we all know that. But especially with Tyreek Hill, because of his speed, he did have a tendency to make some questionable throws and, you know, make some questionable decisions. I think now you're in a position where you have to be smarter as a quarterback. You have, you know, neither of those two guys are going to be taking the top off the defense on a regular basis. So I do think it's going to be a more balanced offense, and we haven't seen Mahomes in a balanced offense because since he's got there, Tyreek's been there.
Oh my goodness,
so
yeah.
It is going to be interesting. I don't completely know what to expect, to be honest with you, but I do think it is going to lead to a more balanced offense. I think you're going to see them run the football a little bit more.
I think you nailed it on the head with the Travis Kelce situation that he's not going to be as productive, at least early, like you said. He doesn't have the bailout guy anymore.
No.
He doesn't have a bailout. They're both bailout. Travis Kelce and especially Tyreek Hill. He's a bailout guy. He can you make him make a mistake and overthrow. He can go out there and make it look like, oh, man, just missed him, or wow, what a nice play. Or you don't have these guys, or you might, we'll see. We'll see what they can turn into, but you don't have the superstars now in those two positions that are going to be open as much as they were together. That's what I should say. And you don't have a bailout. You basically have to be smart, like you also said, stated, have to be smart, have to really just, you can't push it too much. You might not be able to do it now because Tyreek Hill's a big impact. And you also have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's a good rookie running back for you, and that he can only help you.
Yeah,
like they're only going to help you. I feel like you got to use him more. Yeah, you got to use him more. He can only help. And maybe if you see more running early in the year from this team, Pat Mahomes can start to dissect a defense a little bit easier if they respect you a little bit more, because they might not respect the run game at all.
Yeah.
They might be able to basically throw different looks at him and confuse Mahomes without, you know, because you used to have people, like you said, double team, or you just have safety shade to one side of the field. Now you don't have that. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. In Miami's term, that'll be very interesting.
Because
yes. I don't like Tua. I don't think Tua's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he can do it. I don't think he has the arm strength for it. And you don't see lefties work. It's nothing to do with him being a lefty, but they just don't work often. Outside of Mike Vick, who worked, obviously, to an extent. But you don't see it. And I don't really know how that offense is going to work. It's very weird to give to it a guy like that. I think, without saying it, or without really fans thinking it, that Tyreek Hill on that team could make Tua look worse. Only, I'm saying, look worse in the point to where he might try to, oh, Tyreek Hill. You know what Tyreek Hill is going to do. He's going to run by you. He's going to try to make a big play. So maybe he tries to force big plays. And maybe that's what the defense wants you to do. So I think Tua, as much as people think he's in a good spot to maybe make something out of his year here with whatever contract he might sign or might not sign, that the Tyreek addition might not help him as much as people think, because he might just be locked in and just locked in on Tyreek Hill only, not have really any peripheral vision against the rest of the field. It might just stare down receivers, which is another, hate to say it, Carson Wentz thing.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz problem. He has the same thing. Might just have tunnel vision on one guy. And that's, you know, just an opinion. But I think it could maybe come to fruition. We might see it early because I don't think he's a good quarterback.
I think, for me, I think I feel very similar to Miami as I do to Philadelphia, actually. And obviously, Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Tua. I'm not trying to dispute that. But for me, I think they're similar in the fact that Miami made a lot of big moves in the offseason with Chase Edmonds, Sony Michel, and Raheem Mostert in the backfield. Obviously, talk about Tyreek Hill. Gesicki's coming back. You know, Connor Williams from Dallas on the O-line now. And I think that the team around Tua now is very solid. I think he's got a lot of weapons. I think there's a lot of pieces on that offense that can make, you know, that can make a lot of plays and be very productive for them. And it's kind of, for me, at the point, the same kind of stuff I said about Jalen Hurts. Like, this team has now been built around Tua, and we're either going to see if Tua can make it, or if, you know, or if he's going to be a backup quarterback. Because I feel like the situations are very similar. I'm obviously higher on Miami than you are. I think they're going to be the second best team in that division behind Buffalo, obviously. But it's not because of Tua. I'm also
right. Like you're saying, the same type of situation. It's because that roster's built.
Yeah, I'm not a firm believer in Tua Tagovailoa as an NFL quarterback either. I just think the team around him is too good that I think, especially in the regular season, they're going to be able to win enough games for them to be in it.
I wouldn't be surprised if Teddy Bridgewater's your quarterback halfway through the season.
That's a great point.
Because I really wouldn't be surprised.
They put a lot of money into this team, so if it's not going well and Tua's obviously the problem, you know what you're going to get out of Teddy Bridgewater. So
yep.
If it isn't going
and
well,
you know what?
They're in win-now mode now. So if that's what they have to do to win games, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, he's a guy that'll make the simple throws, make the simple plays, and not
going
to hurt you. He's not going to hurt you. He might not win you games, but he's not going
to
lose you games.
He's going to get it to your playmakers.
He's going to get it to your guys. So that's, I would be surprised, just saying, I would be surprised. And I don't think that's really far off. It's not really far-fetched for him to, you know, possibly in there. But is there any other guys that you really think that might be worthy talking about that we might see just make either make a positive or a negative difference here? Because it's a wild offseason. Lots of decently big names have just been on the carousel, been shopped around.
I do think there's two guys that I think we should talk about.
Let me hear it.
I think we should talk about Devontae Adams and Russell Wilson. In the AFC West.
How do I forget? How do I forget? Russell Wilson's a quarterback. Yeah,
there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's a lot to get through.
It's right there. There's a lot to get through now. Once we get to weeks, I can't wait for week one. 1 o'clock, I get to hear Scott Hansen count it down for me. Oh, it's going to be great.
So in terms of the AFC West, I mean, we can kind of, I feel like, bring this discussion with Wilson and Devontae together just in terms of the division. We talked about the Chiefs and, you know, how this division isn't going to be a division they could run away with this year. What are your expectations for, you know, Russ Wilson in Denver, and how much better do you think Devontae is going to make the Raiders? What do you see this division shaking out as? I mean, you know, you also have the Chargers who, you know, were good last year as well. Like, in terms of, you know, those signings, where do you think those teams land, and, you know, what do you see this division shaking out to be?
My opinions on the Denver Broncos are they have upside. Obviously, you sign Russell Wilson. You give away a playmaker, Noah Fant, though.
Yes.
You also give away but you don't have a really great running back crew back there. Melvin Gordon isn't Melvin Gordon of the past.
No.
He's not great. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a backup to some rookie, some undrafted free agent. You never know. So I think their offensive line is much improved because they've needed that in the past, and they've also one of the teams that built in the trenches. Russell Wilson, I don't know if he has Jerry Jeudy though. He has Jerry Jeudy. Courtland Sutton's back from an ACL injury. He's fully healthy now. Those guys can make big steps forward, and they're only going to go as far as I believe those two guys are going to take them because they don't really have a running attack. Their defense should be solid.
Yeah.
They're usually always a solid defensive team. It's always solid. That's the Denver way. So I think Russell Wilson will make some noise. If I had to put him, you know, in the division somewhere, I'd probably put him second or third. I wouldn't put him. I don't really know who's going to win this division. I'm going to say the Chiefs.
It's the toughest division. It really is.
It's a tough division. But as of Denver, they're probably a middle of the pack in that division, which it could mean a 9-8 team. You could have three teams make the playoffs in that division. Who knows? Because he almost had in last year the AFC North. You're right there. As for the Chargers and the Raiders, right? So you were saying Raiders, right, about Devontae Adams. Obviously, huge splash. Best wide receiver they've had in a long time. Pairing him with Hunter Renfrow. Pairing him now. They also signed Keenan Cole, who's another just go-getter. They have a pretty decent offense over there with Darren Waller. And they get a couple guys offensively. I know they drafted a couple guys in the draft for their offensive line. They still have Max Crosby on the team, who signed a big deal. Chandler Jones, who also signed a big deal. They got some good pieces. I wouldn't be so surprised if the Raiders compete with the Chiefs for that division. As much as people, I don't really know what the national view is on Derek Carr. I think he's a solid quarterback.
I also like Derek Carr.
I think he's a solid. He's a quarterback. You know, like he's a good NFL solid quarterback, and that team excites me because it looks like a fun team. You get Amir. They also signed Amir Abdullah, which this could mean absolutely nothing, but this guy's returning punts before he'd signed any deal with the Lions, and he's kind of exciting. He's got the speed, exciting. So there's a lot of fun names on this team, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they're one neck and neck with the Chiefs. I think the least team on this division because they're all supposed to be pretty good. Justin Herbert's no slack. There's no quarterback in the division that's bad.
No.
They might have four top 10 quarterbacks in the division. They could. You could make an argument for four top 10 quarterbacks in that division. So that division's a toss-up for me. But I'd have them neck and neck with the Chiefs. But they're going to be fun. Devontae Adams should be absolutely help. And it's not like they hurt anywhere else in wide receiver. They only upgraded. They didn't lose anybody. They didn't lose. So it's going to help. It should be fun.
You know, I was actually, I brought this up thinking that we were going to be able to have a little bit of a debate not knowing that you were going to feel the same way I felt about the Raiders.
The Raiders.
I felt like I was an outcast in how I felt about the Raiders. We actually feel the same way. I think the Raiders have a good chance to win this division. I think they're a very complete team. Offensively, they're scary. I think they're scary offensively. And I think their defense is better than people give them credit for. Now, like when I look at the Chargers, I think their offense is just as scary as the Raiders, but their defense isn't.
The amount of players they also signed in the defense. They've signed over 10 just defensive players. Their line's beefed up. Their linebacker crew got beefed up. They signed a Rocky Sin who might be a small like, you know, pick up, but he's not bad. He's also young. He can make plays, especially if he's going to be your second or third guy. He'll make plays. I agree with you. The Raiders should be fun.
Yeah. In terms of the Chargers, their offense is scary, but defensively, I just don't trust them. They had way too many games last year where Herbert threw 5 touchdowns, and it was a neck-and-neck game because defensively, they couldn't hold up. And for me, I see those problems just get, you know, I don't, you know, obviously Khalil Mack coming over is going to be big. Kyle Van Noy is a nice pickup for their linebacking group. And, you know, J.C. Jackson, Rex Callahan. So they did what they needed to do defensively. They have the names, but I'm not going to believe in it until I see it. So, you know, for me, obviously, you know, they have the names now on the defensive end. All the names that I just said, you know, plus Derwin James, plus Bosa. You know, they have the names. I need to see them pull it all together before, you know, I make any, you know, predictions on them. I don't. You know,
yeah, and you know what it could be? You know what if this really could be? You might have to go look at your defensive coordinator here and say, listen, we're getting you these guys. We've got you these guys. You might have to run a 3-4, run a 4-3, run a base, run something different because you can't have these games. Like you said, you can't be winning games 35-30, 45-42. You can't win those games in football, especially in the playoffs. You're not going to win those games. It's not sustainable to score that many points in a game. Exactly. Especially if you're a one-sided, one-dimensional football team. Which, again, the Chargers, their running game's okay. Austin Eckler's good. He's very good. Austin Eckler's great. But he's not your pound-for-pound number one guy. He can only do so much inside the tackles to where he's limited.
He's running back. He's not going to... Yeah. He's not pushing the line for that 1 yard on fourth and one.
Exactly.
They had a lot of problems with last year. They went for a lot of fourth downs, and they were ridiculed for going for... forward on fourth down a lot and not converting. I think Eckler's a big part of that because he's not a guy who's going to push for that extra yard. He's a finesse running back, and he's very good at what he does, but in those kind of situations, he doesn't help.
Right, and I like going for a fourth down. I'm a big fourth down and short guy. I love it. That was the Eagles' success. I got to stop bringing up the Eagles, though. I can't bring up the Eagles in 2017. It's too much Eagles. That's enough out of me. But you're right. The AFC West Division is going to be a gauntlet. I'm really excited to see week after week, especially mid-season, how that looks, how that's like playing out. Because who knows, man? You could see inside moves possibly from these teams if they're all fighting for a playoff spot at that point. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that have been just thrown around the league, and lots of teams got better in divisions that are already good, and it's exciting. NFL season's already around the corner. It's right around the corner. We're less than a month away, basically. Just about, I think, a month on Sunday from a first NFL opening week, week one game.
Yeah, the beginning again, of this week was 5 weeks. So
yeah, to see Scott Hansen at 1 o'clock, count it down for me. 7 hours, commercial-free football is almost around the corner. So what else we got here? We basically ran through. We've done a lot of talking.
We have done a lot of talking.
It's been a lot of talking.
And, you know, in the NFL, there's so much to talk about. So there's definitely things that we didn't go over. But
how bad the Bears are going to be, because we can talk about that. But I feel bad.
It's terrible that they didn't do anything to help out Fields this, you know, this offseason. You know, I don't want to harp on it. Cause
they signed nobodies.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on it because they're not going to be very good. They're not going to be a big talking point throughout the year. But he was real beat up last year, had no time in the pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
It was almost like, you know, kind of tough to watch, you know, even just as an outsider. You kind of feel bad for the guy. The guy's a rookie and, you know, getting torched in the pocket play after play. And they didn't really do anything to help that out. So, I don't, you know, I think Chicago's going to be, you know, real bad again. And I don't really
have
much else to say, you know.
It's unfortunate. But, again, they did it to themselves. They didn't help. They don't help their players. They had Allen Robinson on the team. It's a tough situation. They don't have a line. You're right, he's running rampant. There's multiple clips last year where I see this guy just spinning in circles, running for first downs, or getting sacked 20 yards back.
Yeah.
But he's a kid. You just threw him in. You threw him into a bad situation. There's nothing you could expect. Can you expect anything from the Lions?
What do you think? I think he actually can a little bit.
Not week one, though, against the Birds.
Not week one against the Birds.
Nope, not happening.
I think Detroit is going to make some good strides this year. Jared Goff has some more weapons now. And to be honest with you, I didn't think Jared Goff was terrible last year. Obviously, defensively, Detroit is weak. And I'm not out here saying that Detroit is going to win that division or, you know, they're gonna win 10 games. I don't think that's going to be the case. But I don't think they're going to be the laughing stock of the league like they have been the last couple of years. I think the culture is kind of changing there. I mean, obviously, we're seeing on Hard Knocks, you know, some of the culture that they're building there with Dan Campbell and DeAndre Swift, whether you like Dan Campbell or not, you know, his guys seem to be taking to it. And I don't think Detroit's going to be the laughing stock of the league this year. I think they're going to be a little bit better, and I think Jared Goff is going to be okay. I don't think he's going to be terrible. I think he's going to be okay, which, you know, is kind of what he was at his best, was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it got him to a, you know, championship game.
Yeah.
It got him there far. That was also a much more built team, obviously. Of course, the Rams are a really well-built team. But I don't really know what to expect from the Lions. I understand. I get the hype. Not hype, but I get the sense of where they're building a culture, right? They're building some ground to where they can kind of just play decent football, not to lose football.
Yes.
And just play, like, hard. Like, play hard for your guys. Just play hard for each other, which I can see it. I can see it. Now, will that turn into, you know, more than 5, 6, 7 wins? Maybe. Probably not. But, you know, it's exciting. And this year is a big year for that franchise in general. Because now you get to make a decision what you would do with Jared Goff over this season, too. You don't know what you're going to do with him. You signed DJ Clark, who's a pretty good receiver.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good receiver with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's apparently all the talks of camp. Has been really good. TJ Hawkinson on the team. So you got some guys. So I'm excited to see. But I don't really expect much. I know you don't expect much. But you expect more than the losing football that we've been seeing that the Detroit Lions are the bag heads for years and years.
I expect them to be a pest.
Yeah. No slack, basically. No slouch. Can't just run all over teams. About the team that got rid of our boy, Mr. Devontae Adams. What do you think, and do you believe in the Alan Lazard hype? Do you believe in the he's the number one receiver guy and the talks of Aaron Rodgers in interviews that he's had saying, you know, hyping up his wide receiver? Or is that just media talk?
I like Alan Lazard. You know, obviously I think it's a little bit of media talk. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't think they're the division winners this year.
No.
I think they'll be a wild card team. I think whenever you have Aaron Rodgers, I think you're going to be in the playoff hunt. I think Minnesota's going to win this division this year. I think, you know, Devontae is a huge loss, and I think, to be honest with you, I'm kind of at the point where I don't really feel like Aaron Rodgers is really all there mentally. I think he's kind of, you know, on his way out mentally in terms of, you know, I don't really feel like he wants to be here as much as he used to and, you know, at different points in his career. I think he's kind of at the point where if things, you know, don't go perfect for him early in the year, I think we're going to see some drama with him. We pretty much always see some drama with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, always, always.
And I still think they're going to be a very good team. I believe in Minnesota a lot. I think Minnesota, they had a lot of close games last year that they ended up losing. I think 14 of their 17 games were decided by 7 or less. And, you know, obviously as a Washington guy, I'm a little bit mixed on Kirk Cousins, but I think their team is just a lot more put together. Jay Jefferson.
He's a stud.
He's a stud.
The kid's a stud.
And it is definitely a hot take, and, you know, I could be very
It's not as high as you think. I don't think it's as high as you think, because there's only two teams that are going to win the division. Yeah. It's either Green Bay or Minnesota. Yeah. I still think Green Bay should win the division. I like their Sammy Watkins to help out. Just even if it's just a guy. It's a guy, and, you know, they buffed their defense back up. They signed Preston Smith to a 4-year extension. They signed Jair Alexander to a 4-year extension. who was already there, but they signed Rasul Douglas, who has played pretty decent for them, and he was a former Eagle, so it was a lot, you know.
Had a couple picks in that game against the Rams.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's had a couple. Year. Yeah,
he was really big in that big win for Green Bay.
He had a good stretch of good football. So Minnesota's a weird one for me, though. Weird one. It's a really weird one. I don't really know what to think about Minnesota because they've every year they're good, and it's just not good enough. A lot of that has to do with Dalvin Cook's been injured, too. He's also been injured the last couple of years.
And Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
He's good, but he's not.
Kirk is a weird he's a weird quarterback for me. He's like an outdated quarterback to me. It that doesn't even make any sense, but it's just how it feels to me. Like he's not of the new. He's okay. He's an average quarterback who can make the big throws. He can make big time throws.
He's just bad in prime time.
He can't win a prime time game. He is very bad at prime time. He's not big in the moment. Yeah. The wins that you need him to get. You have to show out and the clutch gene is what he doesn't have. He has the speeches though. He's got the clutch speeches that he talks up to his team. But I don't know. I think for Minnesota, it's more about how that defense should be back, hopefully back to the form when they had Xavier Woods. When they had Xavier Woods on that team, that defense was a top defense in the league. They need to get back to having a top defense in football, a top five in the league, and I think they could win the division if their defense really steps up because their offense should be okay. I don't think it'll be something special. I think it'll be good, but their defense is really what I think is big to me. They re-signed Patrick Peterson. I don't think Patrick Peterson is that good anymore.
I don't either.
I think he's kind of cooked, and I don't know how much help he's going to have or what their depth is looking like, but other than that, I think it's all about their defense for me. So that's where I am with that.
Yeah.
But we got any other teams here? We got a couple other teams that might be interesting. There's not really much else that we haven't talked about other than some, some hopeful teams, some teams that lose some guys, some teams that really aren't worth to talk about, which isn't fair. Obviously, it's not fair to not give teams some spotlight. But for a team like, let's say, you want to talk about the Cowboys?
We can talk about
it's America's team, according to Jerry Jones.
Yes, I think we should also talk a little bit about Tampa.
Of course, Tampa. True. We start with Tampa.
All right. So
start with Tampa.
We start with Tampa. What do you expect? I mean, it's Tom Brady led team, so I mean, I don't know how you feel about Tom Brady.
You want to know what I expect or what they expect?
I want to know what you expect.
I expect them to win the South. I expect them to win at least two playoff games and be in the NFC Championship game. Where it goes from there, we'll see.
Yep.
I don't know if of course it's hard for me to say they're not going to go back to the Super Bowl because we've all doubted Tom Brady. We've all kept saying Tom Brady, he's got to fall off sometime. He's the team, it's not going to keep working. It's not going to keep working, but it has. And they're only helping the guy. They keep helping the guy and get whatever he wants, more say. They signed Julio Jones, which I really don't know what to make of that one. But I expect that team to be in the NFC Championship game. And we'll see. We'll probably battle it out with, I'm just going to say a team off the top of my head, the Eagles, of course. Battle it out with the Birds. Brady might get some, might get some shaky knees with the Birds there, but we'll see. But no, for real. They expect Super Bowl or bust, I'm sure, because they were just there 2 years. They obviously got it done. Again, he's got 7 rings. He's the most amazing quarterback of all time. There's a legacy now. These guys there are playing for him. There's nothing short of a Super Bowl is going to make these guys happy. I don't know what the word for it is, but they're going to play for Tom Brady. They're going to play for the coach. They're going to play for each other. And as much as maybe it's a top-heavy team, because I think it's a top-heavy team, I don't know. The depth is the only question for this team is. If they get a couple banged-up players here, I don't know if they're going to be able to replace them with sustainable guys. That's the only issue with me. But I think they'll be a good team, and they'll probably be in the NFC Championship game again.
I think what you said about the depth is on point. I don't think they're very deep, and there could some problems could arise if they do have a couple of injuries to certain positions. But, for me, I don't really feel like I need to harp on this. It's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady, exactly.
Like you said, we're going to see Tom Brady at the end of the year. So, you know, regular season, I feel, is just, you know, for them, you know, stay as healthy as possible.
Get the reps, man.
Because, you know, stay as healthy as possible. You know, a lot of these guys, at least on the offense, have been here with Brady these last 2 years. So the chemistry with a lot of these guys is already here. So stay healthy, you know, build some good chemistry. And, you know, this is a team that's going to be looking, you know, towards the playoffs throughout the year. I don't really, you know, regular season-wise, I think they're going to win games. But, you know, the focus all year, like you said, is going to be the playoffs.
It's going to be the playoffs. It's weird saying this about a team, right? Because you don't really go into – there's not many teams in football, in the NFL, in history. You just say, okay, lock them in. Just lock them in. This is a team that should just be locked in. It's a very weak South. The NFC South is very weak. They should, at the very least, win five of the six. How many games? They play six, right? They play six, two, first three. So they should, at the very least, win five, go 5-1 against their division, and just put themselves in a nice spot. Other than that, they're top heavy. They have Gio Bernard, who's, you know, Lenny's back. Chris Godwin, who signed a nice deal. Julio Jones, for whatever that means. Rashad Perriman, who was really good, in my opinion, as a role guy last year. So, you know, if they protect Tom Brady, they'll be right back. And you're right. You really can't count Tom Brady out. He's going to be there. And it's crazy to see. It's like an NBA season. You know the playoff teams. You don't know the order, but you know the playoff teams. So you just know.
Yep.
Lock them in.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive. And that's why watching Tom Brady play football at 45 years old is as impressive as it is.
Yeah.
It's 45. I would love to be doing that at 45. But America's team hasn't done that in probably 45 years. So there's a part of me that thinks the same as the Eagles for the Cowboys, which is kind of strange. It's weird. The Cowboys have a similar schedule, obviously, as any team in the division. They have guys. They have Dak. They have a star wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb, who's becoming a superstar. They have your superstar on defense in Micah Parsons. They have these guys that are playmakers on both sides of the football. And if Dak can... I don't think Dak is a great quarterback. As much as people say the garbage time stats, I kind of believe in the garbage time stats. He does have a lot of garbage time stats. He can lose you games, but he'll keep you in games. And I think, as much as it hates me to say it, the Cowboys should be okay. I don't know, though, if they can get far in the playoffs. They don't have, like, the grit or basically the want to just push it. It feels like they are a lazy team. I don't like Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy is an awful head coach, and he really shouldn't have a job.
Agreed.
I don't think he is going to push them over the edge. If anything, it could blow up.
Yeah.
If anything. But with the talent on the team, they have decent talent on the team. So that alone can get you 7-8 wins, especially with a weak schedule. The NFC East has a really weak schedule.
Yeah. I mean, you play the Giants twice, you know, which, you know, for, you know, Philadelphia and Dallas, you go into both of those games expecting sweeps.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Philadelphia and Dallas, you go into both of those games against the Giants as the heavy favorites looking to win the games. I mean, and then even Washington, who's not a crazy strong team either, which, you know you're at least taking one of those games, you know, from Washington. And then it's going to be, you know, you're going to battle it out with, you know, Dallas and Philly at the top.
But of course.
It is a weak division, and you get, you know, you're going to get some wins out of that.
You already get wins. And it's weird for me because the Cowboys have always been the team that have won the divisions years and year out or been in, you know, wild card division winner, and have always been there. They have Zeke, who is starting to fall off. Tony Pollard, I believe, overtake him. He's going to overtake him.
I hope. If I'm a Cowboy fan, I hope, because he should have overtaken him last year. But with the money that they're paying Zeke,
yeah,
they seem like they don't want to push him back. They want him to be the guy.
I know, and it's hard. They kind of
Tony Pollard is a better running back at this
point. Better overall running back. He does more catching the football, which Zeke is limited in right now. He's got more of a motor, he's quicker. And you're right, he's a better all around guy. And it sucks that they gave him the money. I get it. I get why they gave him the money, because you just want to make your players happy. And that's how really all major sports work. You make your players happy, they get what they want, here's what it is. But I was saying before, it's all about the schedule with the Cowboys, because they have the pieces, and with a weak schedule, they'll make noise. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I do think, and much again, it pains me to say it, they might be slightly undervalued as a team, because people have seen it year in and year out. It doesn't work. It's not working. Blow it up. Do whatever with the team. Dak's not great. Zeke can't play football anymore. Amari Cooper was, that whole thing was kind of a, not a disaster, but it didn't work. It didn't work as to a point to where they wanted it to work. He was also banged up. And I really think, I don't know, it's weird. I hate giving praise. I don't want to praise the Cowboys. But I feel like they're undervalued. No one has talked about them. And that's the thing I don't like the most when I say about the Eagles being talked about so much. I don't want to hear all the nonsense and all the chit-chat with the team, and they haven't really done anything. They just formed a roster. That's it. So I don't know your opinions on what you think the Cowboys really can do, or if I'm kind of just trying to give them a little bit too much praise and they're not going to be as great. What do you think?
In terms of the regular season, they're going to be around because, yeah, you know, this division is winnable. And at the end of the day, they have the best quarterback in the division.
They do.
They're going to be in a position to fight for the division, I feel like, all year long. I feel like it's going to come down, you know, to the last couple weeks of the year. And even though I do believe Philly's going to win the division, I think Dallas is going to be right there. For me, though, just in terms of, you know, a league-wide scope and where Dallas sits, I'm lower than you are.
Yeah.
For me, CeeDee Lamb hasn't proven to me that he could be a one yet. He's shown flashes of greatness. He does drop the ball a little bit too much for me, and I think he definitely has the potential to be a number one. I need to see a little bit more. I think the loss of Amari Cooper is a bigger than people are giving credit for. Amari Cooper was Dak's favorite target the last 3 years, and you know, now that's gone. That also, you know, is going to close up, you know, lanes for CD. You know, with Amari being the number one, the last 2 years when CD's been there, you know, that's given, you know, CD, you know, opportunity, you know, to play, you know, against one corner, and you know, not have to, you know, deal with double coverage a ton. And you know, we talked about the Tony Pollard Zeke situation. I think Zeke's going to be the number one there all year long because of what they're paying him, what they believe, you know, in him, and I think that's going to hurt them. I think Zeke is pretty done at this point. I think his body's taking a lot of punishment, and you know, I'm not saying this just out of Cowboy hate, as you know, Commander.
No.
I think Zeke's, you know, towards the end, you know, he could have, you know, a little bit of a resurgence, you know, if he stays healthy, but Tony Pollard, I think at this point, is obviously the better running back, and I think that they're going to, you know, still stick with Zeke more throughout the regular season because of what they're paying him, and you know, it's just
they're not
going to
see
optic.
It. They're not going to see it. Yeah. They might see it, but yeah. Maybe it's to a point to where they're controlling, like the upper management starting to control what happens on the field.
Yeah.
Play my guy, I paid. You know, one of those type of situations. Yeah. Go play Zeke.
Jerry made that guy.
He makes a decision.
He's the highest paid running back in football, and he is currently still the highest paid running back in football. So Jerry's standing up in his suite.
Goodness.
How can Jerry, in his mind, you know, think, you know, this guy is still the highest paid running back in football, and he's not even my best running back. You know, so I see that getting in the way. And then, you know, just two more little things, you know, and why I don't think Dallas is going to be as good is, you know, Randy Gregory being gone. I think he brought a lot to that defense, and I think he gave Micah Parsons more opportunities to play one-on-one on the D-line. And
I agree with that.
I think that did, you know, lead Micah Parsons to getting to the quarterback a little bit more. And Micah Parsons is obviously a monster.
Mm.
I'm not going to argue that. So he's still going to get his numbers. He's still going to be a beast. He's going to be the best defensive player on that team. But I do think the Randy Gregory loss is big. And to be honest with you, I don't love Trayvon Diggs. I think he takes too many risks.
I got something about that guy.
You're going to get beat by really good receivers when Trayvon Diggs tries to make a play that, you know, tries to make a risky play and it doesn't work out. And then the last thing is, I just don't believe in Dak Prescott. He's the best receiver in the division, which is going to be good in the regular season, but come playoff time, I pretty much have zero confidence in Dak Prescott's ability
to
make the playoffs.
He hasn't shown it. You're right. He hasn't shown it.
For me, I think Dallas is a good regular season team, but I leave it at that. You know, unless, you know, CD does prove he's a, you know, a number one and stuff. I'm not, you know, saying I'm down on CD. I need to see a little bit more before I can, you know, peg him as that, so.
Trayvon Diggs is not a good cornerback.
No, he's not.
He's not a good cornerback.
It's not just the fact that he's a Cowboy, but I hate the way he's talked about in NFL circles. Because for me, the risk with him is not worth the reward. It's just not.
It's not.
The amount of yards he gives up and the big plays that he gives up for, he will have a lot of interceptions. He'll make a couple really big plays, in a game, and he's flashy. He makes a lot
that's,
of flashy
that's it. That's
plays,
all
that's
it is.
People love him. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, give me consistency, and he's not consistent. Either going to have a great play out of Trayvon Diggs on the defensive end, or he's going to be giving up he's going to be giving up a touchdown. And to me, give me the consistency over the flashiness and the up and down.
Yeah, he can't cover one-on-one down the field.
No.
He can't do it. He's good at short goal-to-go situations where he's got to stay with his guy short, no long routes, just curls, digs, up and downs, ins and outs, slants, all that. He's good at that. He can jump routes because he's fast. He's pretty fast. Yeah. So he can jump routes. That's where all of his picks really came from, is all the short stuff and underthrows or wild throws, by quarterbacks.
Yeah. He was a wide receiver.
He's got good hands. Yeah, he's got good hands.
He's got very good ball skills, but he doesn't. He just takes too many risks.
He does, and it hurts him. And I feel like it's gonna show. And it showed last year, but the media didn't see it.
No, the media were
so
all over.
I think it's gonna show. And again, you said the whole Randy Gregory thing. One other guy. I can't believe we're talking about the Cowboys for this long. It irks me. We're still talking Cowboys, but. One player that has to step up for this team that I really like coming out of college and for that defense to be relatively good is Leighton Vander Esch. Leighton Vander Esch was supposed to be a top middle linebacker coming out of college, and he showed it. And he showed it in glimpses his rookie year. Did he run Rookie of the Year? I don't know if he won.
He did.
He did, right? He did win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So you see it, but he hasn't been anything since, and that linebacker crew should be weak. It'll get exposed. If they're not getting to the quarterback, that top of that defense could get exposed, and that's the only thing that hurts them.
Especially if they're going to use Micah Moore on the line.
Exactly. It's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them.
Their linebacking core is going to look very weak if Mike is going to be used more on the line, which I believe they should use him more on the line.
Agreed.
I think that's where
he fits best.
Where he fits best.
And he plays as his best there. All right, so let's talk about another team. This will be the last team. It's been a long episode. It's been over an hour. It's been a lot of talking, but you got nothing to go on. We'll just talk about it all. We got nothing here.
Yeah,
we're fresh in it. We're fresh in the NFL season, so let's get it all out of the way now, shall we? So, the Niners, the 49ers have been a team that has had success. I should say, they went to a Super Bowl. They've won divisions. Jimmy Garoppolo has proved that he can win football games. Maybe not through him, but with help from his running backs and help from his defense. But I don't know what to expect from this team, but if I'm going to give a team that still could be underlooked slightly, a little bit in the NFC West, it'll probably be the 49ers. And only because their defense got stronger. Their defense did get stronger. They re-signed a lot of guys that were free agents that you weren't expecting to get re-signed. I wouldn't say you had a lot of... They didn't have a lot of money because they did... How much did they sign Debo for? They gave Debo an extension.
Debo did
get a hefty contract, right?
I'm not sure on the exact numbers, but it's Debo, and it was a big one. It's Debo.
Yeah. I think they overpaid for Tre'Davious Ward, who got 3 years, $40 million. That's an overpay, in my opinion. I don't think they need it, especially with a bunch of other – they just got a bunch of guys. But I think that team will be better in Seattle, and I hate to say it, but I don't think Drew Lock is going to do anything with Seattle. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. Geno Smith might as well play for that team.
Yeah.
And I think he's a better quarterback overall. So, I don't know. The 49ers are interesting to me. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play. He'll play, but – what faith do you have in Trey Lance to take a leap? What do you think he showed in a very, very limited time or sitting underneath Jimmy Garoppolo that he can learn to take a leap?
The thing about Trey Lance is he doesn't have to be amazing because the team around him is. Like, San Francisco is a class act organization. They're super deep. They have the guys at every position. And, like, so if you're a young quarterback, you don't have to be amazing. Like, Trey Lance could have up and downs throughout the year. And, you know, I think it is going to be a little more inconsistent than Jimmy G just because, you know, Trey's so young and he hasn't had, you know, a ton of experience in the NFL. But I don't think he has to be, like, this, you know, rookie phenom that comes out and lights the NFL on fire, you know, and like nobody, you know, saw it coming. I don't think that, you know, is what they're going to need out of him. I think the team's really good around him. Their running attack is obviously, you know, very strong. And he's got a heck of an arm.
He does have a good arm.
I think the upside this year for San Francisco is higher with Trey Lance. I just, you know, you don't truly know because we haven't seen him do it yet. I mean,
no, you haven't seen
Jimmy
it.
G, you know, he's very, he's very.
Jimmy G's a weird quarterback, man. He's a weird quarterback.
Yeah.
It's really strange because he doesn't do anything wrong. Like, that's not true. He doesn't really put your team in a bad position, but he'll never get your team over the hump.
Yeah.
But he does what you have to do to win. Like, if you need to make a throw, because he doesn't throw the ball much. No. When he throws the ball, he'll make the throw. He'll make the decent play. He's got the clutch gene that other quarterbacks don't have, that the quarterbacks have the regular season success. He's got the postseason success to show that crazy to say. It really is crazy to say that he can do it at a decently high clip if they get there. And yeah, they can always have a chance to upset a team with the defense and the talent and the depth that they have. But as for everything, man, I think we wrap it up here.
All right.
It's been a good one. It's been a long one. It's been over almost an hour and a half. It's just been a long one. But basically got through everybody we need to know here. Last things, expectations or any predictions, any bold predictions that you want to think about for this season coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm not a crazy bold prediction, but I do think Philadelphia, you know, as is being, you know, a Philly sports podcast, I do think Philadelphia is the division winner.
Don't do that. You know, you don't got to push it like that.
I do.
You could have left out the Philly sports podcast part and just said, yeah, I think Philly can win the division this year and they'll be successful. You didn't have to do all that.
You're right. I went a little too far.
It's all right.
Like I said, I think Minnesota is the division winner up there. I think the Cardinals are going to be bad.
That's definitely a hot take.
We didn't talk about the Cardinals. We can talk in the future.
Yeah, we can talk
about them, but I don't think they're going to be very good. Otherwise, you know, outside of that, I'm not sure I have any crazy bold predictions.
It's tough. It's early. You know, you could throw out some random stuff, but
yeah.
You know, if I had any bold predictions or expectations or something, if I had to give you one that's a little out of the ordinary. Say Joe Flacco starts more games than Zach Wilson.
Wow. Now, is that going to be due to injury or play?
Play.
Production.
Production. Because.
So you're not a Zach Wilson
believer. I'm not a giant Zach Wilson believer.
Okay.
I like Zach Wilson, though, as a player. I think he's okay. I just don't think he, like, has the will to do it at a high level. Like, I don't think he'll have enough of a jump to where, okay, let's make the decision. Let's knock him as our franchise guy. I don't think he'll have that jump, and he'll be one of those, maybe they pick up a fifth-year option in the future and see what he got, or he'll might be chopped around like a Josh, not a Josh Rosen, because that guy's out of the league. But, you know, just chopped around until he finds a spot for him. But that's probably my bold prediction. Joe Flacco will overtake him at the starting spot. I mean, we're going bold here. We're going bold. That's all I can get.
That is a crazy one.
But all in all, I think we covered just about everything we needed to. The NFL season starts in four weeks tomorrow or Sunday, I should say. Preseason games on every weekend now for the next couple of weeks. It should be some fun just to see football on our TV screens.
Yeah.
And anything else, man? Or is that really it for you?
I think that's it for me. I appreciate letting me come on. You know,
of course.
Doing what I love, talking sports, you know, football.
We'll do more.
I'm excited, you know, for the future. Talking some more sports with you. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a little bit of a villain, you know, in the eyes of, you know, Philly sports.
That makes it great.
I mean, the teams I like, you know, sports wise, are, you know, a little bit villainous.
Well, we both despise the Cowboys. That's okay.
But we both despise the Cowboys. That's all right. What matters. And you know, at the end of the day, I like the debate. You know, I like the disagreement. I just, you know, this is what I love doing. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely, we'll do more, man. Absolutely will. So as for that, we're gonna wrap it up. I appreciate anyone who listens, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Smitty Sports Talk podcast. There's going to be some more MLB talk in the future. Hopefully, Phillies can keep it going. They have a difficult stretch now in the back end of the year, going into September, which they've collapsed 4 straight years in a row, which has not been great. But more on that soon. Appreciate all the listens. Have a great day. Adios.